This program is brought to you by the University of Southern Queensland.
Jules Faber, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Now, a bit of introduction about Julius. He was a background inker in 9 episodes of Disney Channel's first animated series, The Proud Family. His other work includes sci-fi comic Glotha Book 1 and the children trilogy, The Glund Cartoons. He held various newspaper editorial cartooning positions as well. Now, how's your day going, Julius?
It's all right. My wrist gets a little sore sometimes.
Working hard, yeah. Now, I've got to ask, Jules, how important is it for you to be an author and a person of influence in today's youth? Because I know you're going to be at the Children's Literature Festival in Ipswich displaying some of your work. I just want to know how important and how does it make you feel to be an author like that?
Look, childhood literacy to me is really, really important. I find that writing now for, I've been illustrating books for about 5 years. I've been writing a lot in that time, but nobody had picked me up. But I've got a new book out now, and I'll have it's a series, so that'll be ongoing in the next year. And it's a really, really important thing for me because I loved to read when I was a kid, and it helped me to escape from life, the torture of life, if you like. And I find that it just expands the mind so much.
Yeah.
And so it's really good. But there were always books that I sort of wanted to read that didn't exist. So that's kind of what I'm aiming at when I write books, is books that I would have loved to have read when I was a kid.
Yeah, I was a very enthusiastic reader myself when I was in primary school as well. And I absolutely loved reading. I was almost top of my grade for reading. So knowing that reading is still a thing that's being influenced through the youth is absolutely amazing. So thank you.
Mm.
Now, Julius, you've worked on a lot of books. I'm going to ask you a bit of a hard question here, but is one of them your favourites? Do you have any highlights from the works you've done?
There was a book called Helix and the Arrival that I illustrated, which I really enjoyed drawing because it was all about cave people. And so I got to draw these big, square, hairy cavemen and big, square, hairy cave women. That was a lot of fun. There was a great character in there who's Salika was her name, and she was this little warrior girl, and she had plaits in her hair and bandages and animal skins and stuff. She was a lot of fun to draw. So that was a real fun book. I think the book that I sort of finally relaxed, I started really relaxing on was Weirdo 3. Weirdo is our big series, Ando and I. And it had become a hit, so that by the time I started on book 3, I didn't feel like I was trying to impress anybody anymore. I didn't stress about it. I just sat back and had fun.
Yeah.
And I hope that shone through in the book.
Yeah. Having fun while writing, I reckon, would be absolute best, because there's nothing better than being just creative, sitting back with yourself and just enjoying your work. I think that's the best part about doing stuff like that. And I have to ask as well, so people like J.K. Rowling, now she wrote Harry Potter while literally sat in a coffee shop and started writing it on a napkin. I was wondering, do you have any creative processes like that that you like to use or utilize?
I've worked for myself for a long time, over 15 years now. And I don't know that I think J.K. did that because she was pretty broke and cold. I think she just went in the warmth. But no, I don't write out in the world. I like my own little studio. I've got it all set up the way I like it, and I've got all my toys and collectibles and stuff around me for inspiration.
Yep.
I'd say I work when I feel like it, though. I don't stick to a 9-to-5 schedule. But sometimes I have to if I've got a deadline looming or whatever. But more often than not, I'll just get to work about noonish, I guess.
Yeah. Everyone loves those sleep-ins, eh?
Yeah. Well, we've got a 12-year-old daughter, so not sleeping in going on.
That's great.
You're going to be a guest author in the Children Literature Festival in October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, next week.
Yeah, you excited about it?
Yeah, it's... I actually used to live up there, so it's been a while since I've been back. So it's going to be really great to visit.
Mm.
Yeah. Also, sorry, I'll just ask. You're a cartoonist, right, as well. So I wanted to know what got you to being into a cartoonist. Was it the love of having these children's books to write, or was it just writing in general?
When I was a kid, growing up, I loved to read, as we've talked about, but I liked to make up things as well, make up stories. And I started drawing when I was very little after I saw a TV show called Mr. Squiggle.
Oh, Mr. Squiggle, yeah. I watched that a fair bit as well.
Yeah, if anyone doesn't remember Mr. Squiggle, he was the man from the moon, and he would come down every afternoon and turn kids, you know, scribbles into drawings. And when I first saw that, I thought I was witnessing some sort of magic. And so I started to draw, and I loved it from the minute I started, and I just never really stopped. So it seemed to me to, you know, from about the age of 10, I decided that this was the job that I wanted to do. So everything I've ever done has been working towards that, I guess. I wasn't born with any ability, nobody is, and so I had to learn how to get good. So that took a while.
Yeah, practicing craft as well is very fine-tuned art as well. It sounds like you're living a dream, man, like doing stuff that you always wanted to do from when you were a kid, and now you're attending these festivals to do stuff for kids. It sounds like it's just fantastic for you.
Well, I feel that it's really important to give back when, you know, you've got fans and kids who are really inspired by your work. I think it's really important to get out there and help nurture that that excitement about drawing and telling stories, because that just opens the mind, as I said, and makes smarter people. So
exactly right, exactly right.
Anything I can do for that is you know, stock in trade.
Yeah. So give back to the community, everyone. That's the wise words of Jill Favor speaking. Give back.
Well, if anyone's got. So, have you got any advice for anyone who wants to follow the same career path? Where do they start? And
just start drawing, start observing. You've got to observe how other people draw. Read. You know, I read a lot of comics growing up, because in them there's more than just the story. There's real lessons in there on how to fix drawing problems without even knowing it. You know, they were never intendedly put in there by the creators, but there are techniques in there that you can easily mimic. And everybody starts out mimicking. Everybody starts out copying other people's drawings. There's nothing wrong with that. It's that's how we learn. It's how we pick up. You know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's all been done for us. We've just got to find our own voice.
Yeah,
eventually.
That's interesting because I used to draw Pokemon characters a lot when I was really young. I used to love doing that.
My daughter does the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's obviously it's copyright infringement if you're trying to sell. But as a learning tool, there's really no better way than to do what somebody else has already done.
I agree.
Like any other form of art as well, I feel like it's one of those things where you constantly get better and better and better as time goes by and the more you practice it as well.
Absolutely right. You can't ever get worse. You'll never be perfect either. And that's part of the thrill of it, is that knowing that you can still always get better.
Yeah.
But you can't get worse.
Yeah. Self-criticism is a very important thing in the arts, and I feel like a lot of people will struggle with it, but those who succeed, all the more to them, because it's a fantastic thing to be able to get into.
Adults are particularly bad at the self-critique. Showing their work, like they'll be dragged off in the middle of the night somewhere and thrown into prison for doing a bad drawing.
Yeah, I was going to say, Julius, with many artists, you see them always judging themselves a lot harder than what other people do. Are you one of those people as well?
I try not to anymore. I try to just listen to the people who are telling me that it's okay. But, you know, I don't know a single artist who doesn't doubt themselves, doesn't see the flaws in their own work. Other people don't see it, but it's quite apparent to me. And every other artist is the same, as far as I know. And so that's why people are so critical of themselves, because they can see the flaws, whereas other people just gloss straight over them and don't even notice them.
Yeah. And you mentioned, sorry, as well, before, you had a 12-year-old daughter. Has she had any influence on any of your writing?
Oh, tons, yeah. When she was really little, she had a she used to say all this funny stuff, and I wrote it all down. We've got this really overstuffed book full of all these little quotes, and if I ever had time, I was going to do a comic strip called Stuff Mary Says. Her name's Mary, and that was the first thing that I did. But ever since, because we read a lot of children's books to her and so on, she pops up in all sorts of things that I've written or drawn. She's like a little Easter egg for people who follow my career. You can sort of watch her growing up in the background of my book.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Jules, we've got to thank you for coming in and joining us today. You can catch Jules Favour at the Children's Literature Festival in Ipswich this month, playing in October. Thank you so much, Jules, for phoning in and talking to us today.
That is absolutely my pleasure. Thank you.
No worries. No worries.
Enjoy the rest of your day, Jules.
Thank you.
Today's world is more competitive. Challenges are more complex. Industries more rapidly changing. Employers more demanding. You need to think bigger, act faster, work smarter. And to do it, you need to be more than skilled, more than relevant, more than qualified, more than confident, more than employable. Become more with the University of Southern Queensland, the number one uni for graduate employment in Queensland. Apply now at usq.edu.au.